thank you, thank you, thank you for spending some of your weekend with us here at Hoosier Ag Today as we run down the top news and information in Indiana and U.S. agriculture on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, your guide for the next 30 minutes as we discuss what's been happening at the Great Indiana State Fair. There have been many awards and honors given out at the fairgrounds, and we'll let you know who they were for. And if you haven't made your way to the fair yet, we'll let you know what you need to check out. 2025 has brought a new potential yield robber from Indiana cornfields. Purdue's corn specialist weighs in when we preview the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast. And will increasing fungicide rates prevent you from needing to make a second pass? We'll have that answer later on in the show. Grain market analysis is on the way. So is Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast. Let's begin at the State Fair with the top honor in Indiana agriculture. After 38 years at Indiana Farm Bureau and a lifetime in Indiana agriculture, Mark Sigler is retiring at the end of the month. He was one of two honored Thursday by Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith with the AgriVision Award, now in its 19th year. With the story, here's Andy Eubank.
Sigler's career started like so many others, growing up on a family farm.
And still live in the same house I grew up on and still have the farm with my brothers and sister. And so as far as being active in agriculture, you know, right from the beginning, went to Purdue Ag, you know, went in an extension right out of that, Elkhart and Rush Counties, worked for Farm Credit for a short time, and then ended up at Farm Bureau for 38 years.
Sigler is the Chief Operating Officer, Secretary, and Treasurer at Indiana Farm Bureau. His time in agriculture has brought many opportunities and countless cherished relationships. He says that stems from saying yes.
You never have a career path that you know what it's going to look like. I mean, very few people would have that. And so along the way, you're building relationships, you're meeting people, you're doing a few jobs here and there. And as you build those relationships, then people are going to be involved, that you're going to be involved with, are going to have things for you to do. And they're going to ask, and they're going to bring up things that maybe at the time you don't think you either have time for or are all that important. But saying yes to those leads to new opportunities, more relationships, and more people in your life. And that is so important.
Sigler and his wife, Dee Dee, live in Frankton and have two children and six grandchildren. The AgriVision Award is considered the state's highest agricultural honor and is presented to those making significant contributions to the agriculture industry and their communities. Also honored was Keith Lambright, owner of Shipshewana Auction and Cedar Creek Meats. The award was accepted by his son, Brian. I'm Andy Eubank.
Thanks, Andy, and we'll check back in with you in just a moment for grain market analysis, but also last weekend at the Indiana State Fair, the moment that many Indiana 4-H members dream about, taking their animal to the dirt and taking home that grand champion prize for their livestock during the 4-H Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America. CJ Miller reports from the Indiana State Fair.
Such a magical moment to work all this time and to be able to spend time with my pig Skittles and be able to exhibit the Grand Champion Barrel.
And that's Hadley Hendrickson, a 9-year 4-H member from Randolph County. And she's like the Michael Jordan of the 4-H Grand Drive. Sunday night, she won Grand Champion Market Barrow. Last year, the same event, she won Supreme Champion Beef Heifer. In 2019 and 2021, she won Grand Champion Gilt, and back in 2018, she won Grand Champion Steer and Barrow. Hadley tells Hoosier Ag Today what it takes to have that level of success.
It takes passion and hard work and work ethic and family and just countless hours in the barn and all the passion and not only having the barrow to do it, but being able to feed it and walk it and just take those hours to do that extra mile and to get them here and to make them act right. And it just takes a lot of hard work and passion.
And that same level of hard work and passion is what led Gabby Rout of Clinton County to win Grand Champion for her market lamb.
What it takes to build a champion is hard work and an incredible support system. Without my team, I wouldn't be here.
The other grand champions from Sunday night were Caroline Sullivan from Hancock County for Meat Goat Weather, Spencer Gottemiller from Randolph County for Meat Goat Weather Dam, Kipton Felton from Huntington County for Beef Heifer, and Redmond Brumbaugh from DeKalb County for Beef Steer. You can watch all the grand champions from this year's 4-H Grand Drive presented by Farm Credit Mid-America at HoosierAgToday.com. You can also watch the video on Hoosier Ag Today's Facebook page. I'm CJ Miller.
Thanks, CJ. And please do find that video. It really shows the emotion, the passion, the grit from these 4-H members. It's a really cool thing. Check it out, HoosierAgToday.com. More farm news coming up a little bit later on in the program. Right now, let's hand things back over to Andy Eubank and take a look at the week that was in the markets.
Thanks, Eric. And it was the week that December corn went below $4. Thankfully, though, it bounced back. On Friday, markets did end lower. They had worked higher, and that's when I spoke with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading to get his thoughts. Not a bad move higher for the markets on Thursday, and an effort here on Friday, Brian Basting, for the markets to build on those gains. It's very muted, though. It seems the trade volume overnight was relatively low. Do we have more of the same on Friday?
Thanks for having me, Andy. Yeah, I would say that we're seeing some positioning, Andy. Tuesday, August 12th, a noon Eastern time, will be the August supply-demand report. And of course, that'll include updated crop production estimates for corn and beans here. And those will be the first non-trend based in the May, June, July report, USDA incorporated trend yields. So this one will at least have some data from the field. Obviously, no harvest results yet, but at least some statistical data that will give us a clearer view, a foundation, if you will, for this 25 crop. But I think we're seeing position, even the market briefly dropped below $4 there, basis of the December contract earlier this week. And we did probably see some short covering as the market rebounded there, was unable to close below $4. The market's rallied about a dime here from those lows. But you're right. I think it's probably going to be some positioning here Friday, Monday, maybe even Tuesday morning, evening, as we get part of that noon report on Tuesday. But a lot of unknowns, a lot of moving pieces in that report, and a lot of room for surprises, of course.
Any thoughts on whether or not it could be a bullish report?
You know, at this point, Andy, I think that the market got so tipped, if you will, to the downside. It may be hard, not a prediction by any means, but it may be hard in this report to come up with it with a bearish report because it built so much into that. Having said that, you know, if USDA comes out with 2.3 or 2.4 billion bushel carryout and the trade's expecting, I look at my notes here, 1.9. I think it'll be a bearish report there. But historically, USDA is somewhat conservative with their August numbers. And then they make adjustments when they start getting the concrete numbers in from harvest, of course.
Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Friday settlements now down a penny and three quarters on September corn, 382 and three quarters. December 405 and a half, a penny and a half lower. September beans and the November contract too, both lost 6 1/4. SEP ending at 967 and three quarters. And Novi 987 and a half. Chicago wheat, September 514 and a half, down 3 3/4. The real damage done in the live and feeder cattle markets. October live cattle, $225.97, a drop of $6.25. October lean hogs also down 25 cents, $90.67. That's our market update, and much more is still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
That's really what makes me excited about becoming GDM North America. It's going to be a great ride, and it's going to be really driven by innovation and how we can deliver that innovation to the American farmer. It's not just the delivery of that, but it's also making sure that, and I mentioned the word uncertainty, and we can talk about that a little bit more, but the American farmer dealing with uncertainty, how do we not only deliver the innovation, but in a very reliable way?
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dry weather dominating the weekend outlook. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's weekend weather update. Here's what's going on across the nation's midsection through the eastern Corn Belt. We're looking at a significant cluster of thunderstorm action that has been rumbling around in the upper Midwest over the past 12 hours or so, and it's going to park there in some way, shape, or form through a good chunk of the weekend. So rain and thunderstorm activity, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Northern Illinois. That's going to be a calling card of this weekend outlook. Why do I mention that? It doesn't affect us. Well, you're right. It's parking to the west. There's a ton of energy out there, and I think this is what's going to kind of be a precursor to what tries to move our way this upcoming week. But for right now, it is stalled. We see a large upper level high holding over the southeastern United States, blocking this weather pattern from moving in. So I think we're looking at a good deal of sunshine today and tomorrow. But to be clear, with moisture that close, it's really not that far away. We're looking at a very humid and muggy setup through the weekend because there is so much moisture flowing around a little bit farther to our west and north. So quite muggy for the weekend, but no new precipitation. And I'm going to say that's the way Monday turns out as well. We're looking at very muggy conditions, but no significant precipitation. Maybe a few afternoon and evening thunderstorms in northwest Indiana, but I think it takes into the Tuesday, Wednesday time frame for this moisture that is currently in the upper Midwest to move towards us and move through the entirety of the Hoosier State. Now, once it gets here, Tuesday, Wednesday, I think we have to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 1.5 inches with coverage at around 80 to 90% of the state. Should be a nice section of moisture trying to come through. And I also don't think it goes away super fast. While parts of the state may get to be dry already on Thursday, I think we have to allow for a scattered shower action in parts of the state, at least 50% coverage for Thursday the 14th, before we finally give the all clear to finish the week Friday. And that clear weather conditions holds through the weekend. Saturday the 16th, Sunday the 17th should be sunny, warm, and dry. Now you get into the following week, the week of the 18th, Monday, Tuesday, mostly dry, but we again see this setup where moisture's not too far to our west and north, kind of popping around. By the time we get to the second half of that week, Wednesday the 20th, Thursday the 21st, I think that moisture tries to get in. We had been looking for somewhat of a strong frontal passage, but I don't think that's there anymore. We just have popcornish moisture the second half of that week. Could lead to a very muggy close, but then we're also starting to see signs that temperatures want to ease back that last full week of August. Maybe not chilly, but definitely off of some of these very hot, humid highs. We definitely have some well above normal temperatures in the forecast the next few weeks. I'm Ryan Martin.
Hey, farmers need equipment? Check out Purple Wave Auction every other Wednesday. They're running ag auctions where everything sells, no reserve, no games. What I love is how they let you talk directly with sellers. Got questions about that tractor? Just ask. That's the kind of hometown service you want. But here's the kicker. Your equipment gets seen by buyers across the entire country. Whether you're buying or selling, jump into Purple Wave's auction rhythm at purplewave.com. Purple Wave Auction. Sold means sold.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this time of year, the corn crops in your neck of the woods may be tall and green, but it just wouldn't be the dog days of summer without corn producers having to face some sort of issue, if not multiple issues. Eric Pfeiffer is back now with a new concern for Indiana's corn farmers.
We've all heard of tar spot, southern rust, ear rot, you know, the typical things that can hinder corn yield potential. This year, though, has brought a new one. Dan Corn Quinn, Purdue Extension corn specialist, says tassel wrap is just like it sounds. It's the wrapping of the tassel.
We often call the flag leaf the first leaf below the tassel, but those upper leaves were staying tightly wrapped around that tassel. And, you know, we talk about pollination with corn is such a critical window and also a really short window. So anything that throws off that synchrony or that timing of either the silks emerging or the tassel emerging can potentially impact pollination.
So what's causing it? Quinn explains on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast from Hoosier Ag Today that more research needs to be done, but he has a theory.
I went to some of these fields and where we found it pretty significantly, went and pulled the weather data from those areas. And in both instances where I found it, and they were actually showing up in two separate different weeks, where we had this about a 35 degree swing from lower nighttime temps back up to about 95 degrees. And it was often accompanied with rainfall.
Trying to determine what the yield impact could be is a difficult task. But Quinn says,
you know, you can quote me on this and then it'll be the exact opposite. But I do think it's pretty minor in the state of Indiana.
Hear more from Quinn in the Purdue Crop Chat wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to check out the video version of the podcast with Quinn and soybean Sean Castile
at HoosierAgToday.com or on our Facebook and YouTube feeds. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
As we pivot now from the agronomist at Purdue University to the ag economist at Purdue, the latest survey from Purdue's Center for Commercial Agriculture says that America's farmers are feeling less confident about the ag economy than they were just a month ago. But they do believe that U.S. policies are headed in the right direction. During the recent survey, which was taken last month, 400 U.S. farmers were given this question.
Would you say things in the U.S. today are generally headed in the right direction or on the wrong track? 74% said right direction. 26% said we're on the wrong track.
And that's Dr. Jim Mintert, Professor Emeritus of Agricultural Economics at Purdue. He explains that one of the factors why more farmers may be in agreement with President Trump's economic policies concerns a rise in optimism that more new foreign export markets will open up to American ag products.
I think it also kind of gets at this whole idea about the tariffs and,
yes,
and the ongoing feeling among agricultural producers that at the end of the day, producers seem to think that the tariff war, so to speak, will play out in favor of U.S. agriculture.
So what are the top concerns for next year among the farmers surveyed?
Higher input costs continues to be the top concern. Lower crop and livestock prices is second place at 29%, whereas 39% shows higher input cost.
Read the full results of the latest Purdue Ag Economy Barometer Survey at HoosierAgToday.com. If you're heading out to the Indiana State Fair this weekend or perhaps this coming week, be sure to take the kids and the grandkids to the Indiana FFA Pavilion on the north side of the fairgrounds for an experience that the family can enjoy that combines ag education with a lot of fun activities. Indiana FFA President Caitlin Marcheski from Tipton County says there's something for everyone inside the Indiana FFA Pavilion.
So we have our free putt-putt course. This is an opportunity for folks to come and play a round of putt-putt for free and learn about Indiana agriculture as they go around.
They also have their animal wing, which is a petting zoo for the kids to get up close with the livestock that you'll find on the farm.
They're able to get up to the gate by the animals and pet them, and they're able to feed them some grain too. And it's really a great opportunity for families to get really up close and personal with agriculture and learn what it's all about.
She also recommends that you stop and shop inside their country market,
which houses over 60 Indiana produce vendors with lots of different products and opportunities there to shop. That market is staffed completely by Indiana FFA members. They volunteer their time to come here. They work on their marketing skills, and they also have the opportunity to make connections with members across the state and share more about Indiana agriculture with customers.
And the best parts about the putt-putt and the animal wing is that they're free.
We have lots of benches, a place to rest for parents as they watch those kids play here, get a break from being out in the sun, and just have some free play time.
Also, while you're at the Indiana State Fair, be sure to visit the Indiana Grown Marketplace, just a stone's throw from where the Midway is. Eric Pfeiffer is back with more.
Everything from honey to meat products. You've got some craft products. You've got things made out of wool.
That's Don Lamb, director of the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, telling you what types of things you can find at the Indiana Grown Marketplace in the Mercantile Building, formerly known as the Ag Hort Building, at this year's Indiana State Fair.
Anything that can be produced, people are creative and they've figured out ways to do it. Potato chips. We've got caramel apple cinnamon donut flavored candles. Wow, how do you do that?
The Indiana Grown Marketplace offers fairgoers the opportunity to shop from over 500 unique products representing 110 Hoosier businesses in one location at the fair. Indiana Grown is the state's local agricultural marketing initiative and boasts around 1,700 members. It's free to join if you grow, process, package, or produce products in Indiana. Lieutenant Governor and Secretary of Agriculture Micah Beckwith says the Indiana Grown program is a great one.
It's a practical application of how government can just inspire people and help them do better in their business. And that really is the role of government. We don't do it for you, but we can say, hey, we can connect you with, if you've got a product, we can connect you with the customer. If you're a customer looking for a good product, we can connect you that way too. And that's what Indiana Grown's all about.
After budget cuts hit government agencies during the last legislative session, including ISDA, I asked Beckwith and Lamb what the future of the Indiana Grown program is.
I think it's healthy. I think we're not going to lose something like this. This is a really common sense government, business, private, public partnership. And those things, we want to inspire those.
Whenever you have budget cuts or constraints, it makes you prioritize. And it really makes you think, okay, what's really important? We're going to do that first. And in the future, you might build something back up because you recognize that value. But Indiana Grown's a priority. So, yeah, we're not going to lose it.
Learn more about the program at indianagrown.org and be sure to visit the Indiana Grown Marketplace between now and the end of the state fair on the 17th to support local businesses. They'll even have tasting samples each Friday, Saturday, and Sunday beginning at 11 a.m. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Eric. And while you're inside the Mercantile Building at the Indiana State Fair, be sure to turn just to your left as you walk into the building, because that's where you'll find the giant cheese sculpture. You'll hear about how the cheese lady took 1,600 pounds of cheese and turned it into a work of art. That's coming your way next. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Jan is a single mom with two growing kids. She works two jobs to make ends meet and gets home just in time to tuck them in for bed. In every community, people are working, yet over 47 million people face hunger. You can help. Hoosier Ag Today and the National Association of Farm Broadcasting invite you to help people facing hunger, including one out of every five children. Your donation stays in your community. Go to nafbhunger.com and help end hunger. Welcome back. We appreciate you being here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. Growers are facing increasing pressure from diseases like gray leaf spot, tar spot, and even southern rust has made its way to northern Indiana. Some voices in the industry are recommending fungicide rate increases, claiming it will potentially eliminate the need for a second pass. Tyler Harp, technical product lead for Syngenta, says a higher rate of fungicide will not replace a second application.
You may get some extended residual activity with a little bit of a higher rate, but it's not going to be something that's going to give you as much of a return as a second application would under these scenarios of higher disease pressure. The data just doesn't support that. So when you make a fungicide application, we would hope that you're going to get a good performance from that fungicide application. And if disease pressure continues throughout the season a little bit later on, you might need a second application to ensure that you're protecting as much yield as possible.
Stress mitigation will be especially important for your crops if the weather turns dry in August.
And one of the things that's nice about a really good plant health fungicide is that you're not only preserving yield in the presence of biotic stress, which is caused from diseases, but also abiotic stress, which is caused from things like drought or even heat.
And Harp provides his fungicide recommendations.
Merivis Neo for corn and soybeans is the fungicide that gives you these very important plant health benefits as well as potent, long-lasting disease control.
Harp and Syngenta remind you to always read and follow label directions. Let's head back to the fairgrounds now and find the cheesiest thing you'll find there. American Dairy Association Indiana celebrated the unveiling of their 19th annual giant cheese sculpture inside the Mercantile Building this week. Speaking of cheesy, CJ Miller reports.
We started out with 1,600 pounds of mild yellow cheddar from Pace Dairy. That's the very same cheese you get at Kroger in the dairy case.
And that's Sarah Kaufman, also known as the Cheese Lady. She tells Hoosier Ag Today it took her and her team more than 285 hours to make that cheesy work of art, which celebrates this year's Indiana State Fair theme, the soundtrack of summer.
We have our beautiful melody of cheese. We have the cow dancing and playing the guitar. Our jukebox is the main focus here. And of course, we have our key lime shake featured at the dairy bar. We always like to do that, tie in those subtle little messages that deliver our dairy message, but with fun.
Janet Daig is a dairy producer from Fulton County, and she says the giant cheese sculpture brings awareness to the nearly 700 dairy producers all across Indiana.
This is the fun half. This is where we get to showcase what we do in a fun and entertaining way. The more milk everybody drinks, the more cheese everybody eats, the more milk I can produce.
Sarah adds that after 19 years of creating the giant cheese sculpture, it's not only become a tradition, but it's also one of the biggest attractions at the Indiana State Fair.
Many of them say, I come here every year. This is my favorite thing at the fair. And they'll show me pictures from 10, 15 years ago. Some of them use it for their Christmas card.
You can check out a video of the giant cheese sculpture. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
Thanks, CJ. And finally today, you know Indiana's home to corn and soybean fields, but we also produce pork, beef, lamb, dairy, carrots, apples, honey. The list goes on. And while you're at the Indiana State Fair through Sunday, you can sample some of these homegrown commodities at the Indiana Farm Bureau Fall Creek Pavilion during their annual Taste from Indiana Farms. Andy Eubank shares.
This is actually over 30 years that the Indiana Farm Bureau Women's Leadership Committee has hosted Taste from Indiana Farms.
Mindy Orschel, Indiana Farm Bureau District 8 Education and Outreach Coordinator. She hosted us on a walkthrough Thursday, and just as we did, you can sample what farmers around the state are offering, including the state snack of Indiana, popcorn. She says they often see surprised faces when visitors learn about certain products that are grown or produced right here.
And it's fun to watch the old and the young come away knowing more and saying, hey, we didn't know that duck production was a thing in Indiana. Who grows ducks in Indiana? Raises ducks, rather. So it's really great watching them and just getting some positive out about Indiana farmers. We love to share our stories. As farmers here in Indiana, we love to tell what we do because we're proud of what we do. We're proud of the product that we raise. And our main goal is to raise safe, healthy food for Indiana.
Carrots are among the items you can taste this year.
That were raised just for this event from Northern Indiana. So we invite everyone to come out, taste some locally grown carrots. With that, you can dip them in some ranch dip. Now, a lot of people don't associate ranch with farming. Well, soybeans that are raised here locally in Indiana are the key number one ingredient that go into ranch dressing and ranch dip.
And you might not be able to make a full meal out of it, but Orschel says
it could absolutely be a nice afternoon snack or a mid-morning snack, definitely.
Taste from Indiana Farms, hosted by INFB Women's Leadership Committee, is free but ends Sunday, hours 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. I'm Andy Eubank.
And with that, we've wrapped up another edition of Hoosier Ag this week. Thank you for joining us. I hope to see you this week, whether it be at the Indiana State Fair or coming up on Tuesday in Newcastle at Keystone Cooperative's Co-op Classic. I'll be there along with others, including Governor Mike Braun. I'll be emceeing the event, and I would love to see you there. Be sure to find more information on that, KeystoneCoop.com or HoosierAgToday.com. We'll do this again next weekend. Same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.